CliffCentral.com.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Students Uncensored with Ruby Chukwuri. I, of course, am Ruby Chukwuri, and I am 20 years old studying at the University of Cape Town. Joining me in studio today are wonderful, lovely black ladies. We
yes.
have the radiant Zanele Zimu.
Hello, hello.
The charismatic Grace Matetwa.
Hi, girls.
And the beautiful, intelligent, and outspoken Chioma Umela.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Hi, guys.
She got so many more descriptions than us. Like, I'm blushing. I was like, oh my goodness, is this me?
I'm not sure, like, anything else.
Well, thanks, Ruby.
I mean, sure, I really struggle to find words to describe you two.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Okay.
So either way.
I just thought I'd put it out there. So I'd just like everyone to go around the table and say what they are studying and where they're studying. So, Grace?
Okay, I'm studying a BA Humanities at Stellenbosch, and my majors are Politics, Philosophy, and Sociology.
Okay. Well, I'm studying at the University of Cape Town. I'm studying a BCom Finance and Economics.
I'm studying at Monash, South Africa, and I'm studying a BA in, I'm majoring in Philosophy and Psychology.
Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to ask everyone, now that we know, you know, what everyone around the table is studying, what is the next step after this degree?
That's always the question.
These are tricky questions.
Always.
So, Zanele, next step?
Oh, my next step. Wow. Okay, so it's either I'm going to go into theater or I'm going to go and do my honors in finance or economics or both. But we'll have to see. I'm not that sure.
Honors in economics. Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. I need it.
And how about you, Chioma?
I'm actually currently trying to figure out if I want to even continue this degree. So it's a little bit of a tricky question. But I think after it, I'd really want to go into acting and theatre as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, Grace?
I'm not original because I'd also like to go into acting or theatre as well.
Yeah. We got all the drama students.
I'm the only one.
But my biggest dream is to travel, and I want to actually go do philosophy honors in Germany because they have some of the best philosophy, everything. So that's a big dream for me. And I told my parents, I'm like, guys, I want to travel. And they were like, with what money?
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I'll just sit on the couch and wait.
That sounds like a good plan. Just sitting on the couch
and waiting.
That's actually a good life.
Definitely.
As long as food is provided.
Yeah.
Like, why you
have
complaining?
A bed.
There's nothing to complain
there's
about.
There's a Wi-Fi, a bed, maybe there's a boy.
A may, you know.
Yeah, maybe some of us don't have Wi-Fi at home.
I was going to say, must be nice. Well, personally, my plans after this degree, I'll probably need to do honors. But I have no idea what to do my honors in. But
it's
I know
fine.
It's somewhat necessary, so we'll see. And then I'd definitely like to travel and study abroad.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm. I think exposure is very important.
Yeah.
Even if you come back afterwards, you know, you're just enlightened and so exposed and you have a different perspective on everything. It's not just local mentality. It's a worldwide perspective. So I'm sure if you are tuning in, you would grasp that the topic of today is about, you know, degrees, studying, university. And what we have named the show today is An Open Letter to Our Parents and Family, How You Can Better Support Students.
Hallelujah.
This one is needed.
We've been waiting for this conversation.
I think it's very important because sometimes we focus too much on the academic or financial support that we need from family, friends, or institutions or anything like that. But we don't put enough emphasis on the role that family plays in you excelling academically, excelling in your career, excelling in life, excelling emotionally. You know, they, family and parents play such a big part in our success.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the downfall as well.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be either or.
Yeah, success or lack thereof.
Because even before you come to university, you've had this like young experience of your family, and whatever you take from that, it carries on into university. Mm. So if you haven't handled that part, then kind of like,
And, you know, it's always interesting because now living alone in Cape Town, you know, my family's in Johannesburg, I'm realizing that so much of what my mom and my dad instilled in me or certain characteristics that they have are, like, I'm seeing in myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes scary, though. Like,
you're like, sometimes I'm like, mom. But I don't want to be this person.
You look in the mirror and you're like, I am my mother.
Yeah. Right? Mm. You know, I have so many of those moments. I don't know about you, if it's, you know, whatever family member, but I'm like, I am becoming my mom. Mm. Like, to the T, in the way in the way that I write my notes, in the way that I organize my thinking, the way that I'm so pedantic about planning. Like, it's exactly how my mother is. And I'm like, oh my God. I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean, I guess we'll see how it works out. But I just wanted to ask everyone, are you studying the degree you want to study, or are you just going to stick it out with what you are doing?
River, you keep on asking these tricky questions.
Time to
wow.
We're going deep now.
You really just like went straight. I know. Like, you didn't waste any time.
No time to waste here. So Zani,
okay. Oh yeah. I'm not studying the degree I want to study.
Okay.
Yes.
So are you
definitely
just going to stick it out? And
thing is, next year's my final year, and I feel really, really bad for my parents because they've already paid for 2 years.
Yes.
So like, and they're getting ready to pay for the last year. So let me just stick it out, and I'm fine. It's not like I'm suffering and I'm like crying every single night. I can actually get through it.
Yes.
So I might as well just stick it through. And what's this? I do, like, I'm studying business, so I do want to get into that, you know.
At some point.
Yeah, get that. Ooh, I'm so sorry, guys.
No problem.
Get it. I do want to get into that at some point, but just not now. But I'm just getting the qualifications now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about you, Grace?
Partly I am studying the degree I want because I loved philosophy even from a young age.
Okay.
But I wish I had time to choose or time to understand myself and know what exactly I want to do, because my passion is acting and drama and creativeness. But I also, you know, like, you have various passions, but like, I wish I had the time to tap into what it is that I want to cultivate, you know. So it's like half-half with me at the moment. Like, and for me personally, I went through really bad first year. Like, I'm capable of sitting down and studying, but like, when your mental... when your mental state doesn't match your academic state or your emotion, you know, all those things, when they don't link up, it's really hard to try get through that like thing. So
I agree.
It's just, it's a catch 22 like kind of thing. So
okay. And how about you, Chioma?
I feel like I'm almost similar to Grace because I also, like, I'm very passionate about philosophy, but like her, I also want to go into acting. The difference is I really do. I don't want to continue this philosophy degree at the minute. I want to actually just focus on the acting.
Okay.
But the problem is, I feel like I'm stuck in a place where a lot of students might be able to relate to, which is the fact that my parents have already paid for a year. And you have a lot of, like, it's, you kind of guilted into sticking with it, you know, sticking with your degree, because, like, you don't want to waste the investment they've put into you, even though they knew that it was, it's not what you wanted. They knew that, but, like, it's still the money that's there. And it's difficult, you know, to kind of weave your way out of that situation, you know.
And if I may add, like, especially in the context of South Africa at the moment, in terms of the fact, like, our parents are paying, are able to pay, and then you think about the broader aspect of, like, everyone else in South Africa and fees must fall and how, like, you fit into that. It's like, okay, my parents can afford to pay it. Let me take the opportunity to just go forth and do as much as I can. But, like, you know, that guilt, that sort
that
of guilt feeling
that they've already paid,
you know, and you're like,
I get you.
It's easy to feel like suffocated in your degree because like a lot of students, even because they're the first ones in their family to be afforded this opportunity, their parents rush them into, you know, university. And you, like, well, some of the students might be feeling like, maybe this is not what I wanted. If I had the time, if I had, you know, if I didn't have this pressure on me, because some family members, they like the whole family putting together money for you.
Like, you know, honestly, I wish I took a gap year.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, some of us just aren't afforded that opportunity.
That's the thing. That's the thing, because gap years really help. They help you to find yourself and actually figure out what you want to do. Like, I thought I wanted to do business. It was my choice, not my parents' choice.
Yeah.
But as I got into it, I'm just like, you know what? This isn't for me. A gap year would have helped a lot, but it is not like...
thing is that my brother took a gap year and it took him a... You see, it's like different. Because the thing is, with a gap year, can either go really well or really bad.
Definitely.
Because you can either take the opportunity to grow and learn or and like, nothing. You know, or do nothing.
Stay stagnant.
Exactly. Yeah, my one teacher, she said, if you're on a gap year and you're not working, then you're just unemployed. Like, don't even call it a gap year. You need to like do something with your time. But I feel like even certain people, they come away from a gap year and decide that schooling, further like education isn't actually for them. And there are other paths to life.
They are.
And it's kind of difficult to like come back to your, like, especially like my parents, coming back to my parents and telling them, no, I don't do school. Can you imagine the reaction? Like,
a black family,
you're the first person, right?
I don't do school.
No, literally would give our parents a heart attack.
Yeah.
And it also seems unappreciative, like, you know, it's
all that hard work they put in, and then they're gonna be like, so this is what you're gonna do now. And
definitely
it's quite daunting things. Actually
I think the general consensus is that, like, we all feel pressured in some sense to go with the norm of going straight out of high school, to go straight to university, to go straight to working, you know? And it's like, there are other options, there are other paths, but we just aren't afforded the opportunity to explore or to travel or to go straight into the working environment and see how it plays out.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because I know for me, like, since I was in grade 8, I've always wanted to go to America.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's where...
All those dreams.
We were like Stanford girls, Annie and I. We're like, oh my God, Stanford.
No, guys, Harvard, guys. I have a Harvard shirt.
I have a Harvard like magnet on my team. And I'm like,
one day.
But you know what? One day is possible. It doesn't
have to be.
It doesn't have to be your first degree. Exactly. It doesn't have to be straight out of high school. And it's also, I don't know. It's just getting to grasp with reality. Because I know for me, I've always wanted to go to America, as I said, and it was more about the exposure and the way that their education system is.
Because I like the whole thing of, like, you have 4 years, and then the first year, you're also just trying to figure out yourself. You can take anything. Where here, you have to know what you want to do.
Yeah, it's very stringent. So it's like, I really wanted to explore that and do a very creative degree, but more, I would say, business creative side, as opposed to most of you who want to do the, the artist. I think I'm more like the person who wants to produce or to screenwrite or whatever, you know, the more background kind of
We have artsy people here today.
But I remember, you know, Lupita Nyong'o? At her Oscar acceptance, she's like, all our dreams are valid. No matter what the path is, whatever that dream is, if you conceive it, you can, like, make it happen. So, like, it may take time and trials and tribulations and tears, but there's going to be a light that we will reach.
Yeah,
that sounds so airy fairy. Wow.
But I do believe that, you know, like, you always just have to have an end goal and say, you know what, I'm working towards this. There might be a few bumps in the road, but I'm going to get where I'm going.
Definitely.
You know?
Exactly.
I think the difficulty is also handling how big your dream might be, because I know a lot for, like, you know, as we have such high ambitions. You constantly divide have to battle people kind of tell you need to be realistic, right? But you also have to remember,
but you're like, this is my realistic.
What's realistic to you?
There's just too many people that bring us down. And
sometimes
it is our parents.
It's the people we love the most.
That's the thing. Especially, like, since it's December time, we are going to see family. The first thing they ask is, oh, Zani, how's school going?
When are you graduating?
When are you graduating? What are you doing after graduation?
You know, you would suit this job.
You would. And the thing is, you, like... That's the thing. You just like, no, but I'm thinking of acting. They're like,
you dare say that, guys. I have Nigerian uncles. You don't understand this. Like, the second I said acting, there was a family meeting. They're like, no, Chima, you can't do this.
Wow.
You, no, they're like, no, you can't do this. You need to, like, you know, even with, like, psychology, because I'm studying psychology, they're like, what psychologist do you know that is making a million at this point?
Oh, my God.
You know, and it's just
are
like,
they?
Making a million. Like, are you?
You uncle.
Uncle, what? Are you making a million?
You know?
Because I see you struggling and you studied business, so tell me what the truth
is. Tell me. Yeah, we don't want a beating, so we're not going to say that.
But you think it.
No. Yes. And they always equate success with money. Mm-hmm. That's my biggest thing. Money is helpful because, you know, you got to eat, you got to sleep somewhere, you got to do something, but it's not the end and it's not happiness.
But you know what the thing, like on Twitter, because Twitter's like it's my teacher now.
Shout out to Twitter.
Like Twitter. So like they were saying, there's one thing you have to remember is to forgive your parents for how they are, because that's just how they were, like, that's
raised.
How, exactly, you know, definitely. And even though, like, they understand, like, even though, like, you, they do equate success with money, right, that's how, like, when, like, for someone who hasn't had that, you know, and didn't get all that much, you know, you know, that's how they equate it, so you kind of have to forgive, and you'll never find, like, sometimes you won't even find a common ground, but it's always, just always have to forgive the fact that it was a different time, they lived different lives, and it's okay, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah. Going back to the question I'd asked everyone, because I just realized I hadn't answered it. I think I'm studying the best degree I could possibly study. But I know I'm not going to go into the profession. Like, I'm not going to be an economist. Oh, I'm studying philosophy, politics, economics. I'm not going to be an economist. I'm not going to be a philosopher. I'm not going to be a politician. But I know I'm going to use all of the knowledge that I've gained from,
definitely,
you know, these courses
to
go into whatever realm of media, whatever realm of business I'm going to, you know, land up in. I do know that. So that's why I feel, like, secure with where I am right now. Because, you know, I'm not,
That's a very you're very lucky to feel that way with your degree.
I'm not like elated, but I'm like, you know what, it's going somewhere. It will benefit
content.
Me.
You're content with where you can go.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, I'm content. Okay, so I just wanted to ask everybody, which three words would you use to describe the support or lack of support that your family / parents have given or not given to you?
I love how Zani didn't let you finish the question and she was already like,
I'm trying to find adjectives now. Nothing's coming.
The wrong words are coming. I'm out here like, Grace, these are your parents. You love them. Let's try be cut.
I'm trying to think about
But just, not just parents. Parents and family together.
Yeah, definitely.
You
know? Okay, I have four.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's pressure, stress, and lack of understanding.
Wow.
So that's from Chioma.
Thank you, Chioma.
Okay. I'm going to steal two from Chioma.
No. We're not repeating.
Oh my god.
But no, okay. But this one I really have to say.
Okay.
It's understanding.
Lack of understanding. Okay.
Yeah. It's actually both of them. Because what happened is my parents were like, choose your own degree because we don't want to, like,
pressure
you. And we don't want to see you crying. And we don't want you blaming us.
Mm.
But, yeah. Now you're like, maybe I want to change. They're just like, huh? Like, what is
saying?
It? Yeah, what are you saying? Mm. So I have to say it's just those two words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about you, Grace?
I think my words would be growth.
Okay.
Conflict from internal conflict and conflict with my parents, and I think overall love and compassion. Because the thing is, for me, I have mental health issues, and my parents, it took a lot for them to understand that, and with that, they, like, it was a growing process for all of us to really understand, like, what is going on with me.
Like, Grace, you know, I relate to you so hard.
You do. I'm looking at you in the eyes. I'm like, girl,
I see your soul. Like, I see inside you. Like, you just, I understand.
So, like, it in the beginning, it was really always conflict. Like, it was always my parents against me, and then it turned into me against me, and then my parents saw that and they recognized that, and they, and I can, like, I admire them so much for working so hard with me to be like, okay, you know what, you're struggling, mm-hmm. but we're gonna hold your hand. So in the beginning it was like, yo, these guys don't love me.
Yeah,
what is love?
It's funny because like I feel like I'm still in the conflict part of my journey with my parents, and I feel like I actually feel like the way my parents are set up, we're never gonna move past this conflict situation. Yeah. You know, and it's difficult because like even this year, like at school, it's my first year, you know. Like during second semester, I spent every day crying at Monash just because that's how upset I was. But they would, I know that any way I'd put it, they would never understand.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just like, I feel like that's where we differ. Like that's like, I feel like my parents can't meet me there, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I definitely understand. I remember the first day of class, I ran to the lecture hall. I came back. I was sweating. I got into the shower. I've never had such a long shower crying. Like, I literally, my roommate was like, Grace, are you coming? Like, we're having lunch. And I'm like, don't talk to me now. I want to cry in the shower.
Just have my private time.
I need this. I just need to release this thing in me. And it was like the first month there. And I was just like, it's never going to get better.
Also, holler to the water pressures we have now. Like, we have water restrictions. Let's cry out the shower.
You know, like oh, wow. Oh,
you just, I know. Now I'm just saying, like, let's just cry out the shower. Hey. Next time.
But yeah, I was wondering, like, yeah, but like, you know, that, like, that beginning struggle to like push you out and like, you know,
get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Or cope better.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think for me, if I have to speak about my mom specifically versus everyone else in the family, it would be very supportive in terms of emotions. I mean, she's always there to answer the phone, to understand if I'm calling and I say I can't study, I feel a mental block. She doesn't say to me, just study. You can do it. You know, just push through it. It's more like, you know what, you can push through it, but if you need to nap right now, take a nap. If you need to take a walk, take a walk, look at the trees, leave your phone behind, and just get some perspective.
Take care
of yourself.
What
I mean? Yeah. And then I think rest of my family, like, as a whole, it's, a lack of understanding.
Yep.
And I think lack of understanding in the sense that, I mean, my PPE is quite a relatively new degree in Africa.
Yeah.
And people just want to know where you're going with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, yeah, that goes to every degree that isn't career specific, that isn't accounting or medicine or law. It's like, so what are you doing with this degree? What do you want to be? Like, all my family just says to me, okay, Ruby's going to be a politician. And I'm like,
no. Like, what's the point?
Every single time I'm asked, what are you studying? And I say finance first. Whew, people go crazy. They're like, oh, you're going to be in the finance.
You're going to manage my money.
Yeah, you're going to manage my
money. You're going to be the treasurer of South Africa one day.
Dude. And then you're just like, no, but I actually might not go into that. Yeah. Then they're like, no, Zani, there's money. There's money.
Yeah, I feel like they don't understand that, like, nowadays. Especially because, like, degrees don't always, like, back then, degrees used to get you the job, you know? And now you need more than just that.
It's work experience. Yes. It's work ethic.
Yeah. There's so many people with the same degree.
Yeah, exactly. So the degree you're studying now doesn't exactly equate to you, you know, being that being that degree or that degree path or whatever, you know? I feel like they're struggling to understand that because back in their day, a degree was the ticket.
Yeah.
That was it. You know?
Exactly.
And it's like now you'll even struggle if you just have your undergrad and you don't have honors.
Exactly.
Or if you don't have masters. Like now it goes so much further than just having the basic undergraduate degree and getting a job. It's have you done internships? Do you have work ethic? Do you have connections to get this job? Because sending your CV out,
this connection thing is something that's popping up.
That's
like
the thing. Guys, I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes, girl, so was I. Like, it's been popping.
You know, it's the 12 Ks of Christmas. That season. So remember the episode where Kendall wanted to be a model?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, all Chris had to do was call and be like, my child wants to be a model.
My child wants to be sexy.
It's not like that. That's the thing. It's not like that with us. Like, you really have to have connections.
Yeah, there was one thing with me in terms of acting, what I realized, because I feel like I am talented and I will, like, always, put, like, you know, lose my ego that way, because I am.
Rate yourself.
Yes. The self-love is really important.
Say it again.
So then, I realized very early on in life, even in grade 10, I was like, you know what, in acting, and I feel like this applies to most things, it's not about what you can do, it's about who you know.
Yes.
And that's difficult because you can be so talented, but if you don't have the right networking, like circles and stuff, you will never, you know.
You don't.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's in all spheres.
Yeah.
With everything.
And it's good and it's bad because it can limit people, because some people think then, I don't know anyone, then I can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem lies with people. Even though you don't have connections, you still have to keep trying because
there's to make those connections.
Exactly. You still have to then work to make the connections.
Like, it's so daunting for me because I'm low-key socially awkward, you see.
No.
So, like, well, you, like, have to think about, okay, you need to make friends. Like, what am I going to say? You need just to get, like, a role or something. But you have to, and I feel like you can't live in extremes. You can't only work on your connections.
Exactly.
Or you can't, like, you have to be able to find the, like, a nice balance in between and
equilibrium.
Yeah.
Economics.
I'm like thinking, I'm thinking science. Like, we learn,
like,
Newton's law, guys.
Oh my gosh.
No, yeah, but that's very true. Like, trying to balance everything that needs to be done, all the requirements.
It's hard.
Yeah, and still, like, being true to yourself and working on your passion can be very difficult. But, yeah, I just wanted... I know, Chioma, you had a personal story to share regarding how your parents, you know, have or haven't supported you, what you wanted to study, what you ended up going into.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just please give us, like, a brief summary of your story. And
So basically, from 3 years old, I've always wanted to go into, like, music or arts and stuff, right? And I was supported throughout primary school and high school. Primary school, I learned the piano, you know, guitar, you know, and high school, I did acting. And any family member, you could ask them now that haven't spoken to me since 5 years old, they'll tell you, if I ask them, what does Chioma want to do? They'll tell you she wants to act or she wants to sing. So it's always, it's never been... It's been consistent. And my parents promised me outside of high school I was going to be able to, like, explore that, even if it was for a year. But came a trick, and I applied to the universities. They wanted the average degrees in terms of, like, you know how, you know, they want steady degrees.
Traditionally, exactly.
And then what had happened was I decided I wanted to go overseas. And what that let me do was that as long as I was, like, in a city that, in London, right, if I got a role in London as opposed to getting a role in Johannesburg, I respect them both the same, but I know that in London, should I get a role, it's bigger than, I can be a little bit more international than if I were to get it here. And I was going to be happy studying whatever traditional degree that my parents chose for me, right? Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to London, and that's what took me to Monash. And Monash was supposed to be a temporary thing because the end goal was still to go overseas. And now it kind of feels as though my parents are very happy. Now that I'm in the school, they're very happy keeping me in the school, knowing what I really want to do. And it's very difficult because everybody, my one friend, she's studying accounting and she wants to be a chartered accountant and stuff. And she kind of, every time she has to, like, write essays or she's up at night, you know, doing work that's due, you know, the next day and stuff, she can always look to the fact that inside of her she wants to be an accountant, you know. Whereas with me, I don't have that. Like, I struggle with my degree a lot because there are times where I have to hand in, I have to write, like, such long essays, and I can't find it inside of me, and it's very daunting, and it's like it's an internal conflict as well as a conflict at home, because I know that, like, even the conversation of me stopping this degree to go to study, like, even after, that conversation can't even happen, you know? And like, the thing is, it's been, the second I bring up even the tiniest of, my sister's going to Stellenbosch next year, and I said, hey, mom, hey, dad, if you're struggling to pay for school fees, pay for my sister's first, because I know she's very focused on that degree, as opposed to what, I'm, like, really not here. My mom is like, what do you mean by that? Hey, Chioma, what are you saying?
She's telling the truth.
Just by, you know, just by that.
Just by that little, like...
So I just know it's very difficult. I know if I were to, you know, actually go out and do what I actually want to do, I might have to break away from the support of my parents.
Yes. Yeah. Which is very difficult.
Yes. So obviously you first have to save up before you
break.
Yes. Yeah. Because we don't want you being homeless now.
I've already made a connection to you. I can't see you struggle.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I need a seizure.
So yeah, that's basically my story.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So what do you think your parents could have done differently? Like, if there was a parent that was listening to this podcast and say, and has a child that wants to do a degree that they aren't particularly supportive of or don't believe in, what do you think parents could do better?
I feel like with my parents, they're very stubborn and not trying to understand.
Okay.
You even if you go into a conversation having both agreed to understand, they are still stuck. They will still have a closed mind about it. And I feel like the best thing you can do for your children, even if you don't understand, I feel like you still need to support and you still need to try and hear what they're saying. You know, try and meet them halfway.
Willingness to
hear. Yeah. So just to be open to hearing is the first step.
But some of them aren't willing to meet you halfway.
Yeah, and that's You see, I feel like if you look at most successful people, right, it's their support structures around them.
For sure.
You know, like it's the people, and that comes from your parents or it can come from your friends, but like it's the people around you. And it's very hard to succeed in anything. Even if you don't support what they're doing, they won't succeed, or it will be difficult to succeed if you're not there to like for them to lean on and stuff. So I feel like with parents, just the first step is to just be open to hearing, you know, a different side and a different kind of life from your child.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I know from my brother's perspective, because I spoke to him about this, and he was telling me, because he started off doing engineering at Tux, and he messed it up. He just messed it up, and then he had to go to TUT to complete quantity surveying, and it's different. And he told me, he's like, all I wish is that someone sat down with me and shown me what I could do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just ask you.
Just ask me and be there with me to think about what it is that I am. And, you know, you don't even have, like, he could have done engineering, been successful, but he just was never prepared, or no one opened his eyes and, like, showed him what he could do. So I think that's another thing, just, like, opening up to the choices that you have and just communicating, like, hey, there's this, there's that. And I didn't know about AFTA until, like, mid-first year, and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, me too. I only found out about AFTA when people were like, oh, I'm going to Cape Town AFTA.
Guys, that time I knew, like, since the jump, I've always known. My parents are like, what is that application? Please put it in the dustbin. Thank you.
But it's sad because only the, I guess, traditional universities or tertiary institutions are the ones that are promoted.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, out of matric, I only knew about UCT,
you know, the VITS,
UKZN, UJ, Tux. And Stelis and University of Free State. But genuinely, that's as far as my knowledge went in terms of universities. And that's, like, those are the only people that came to my school and gave us talks. Those are the only universities that my teachers talked about or recommended. My parents,
and even socially, like, God forbid you mention Varsity College or something.
Yeah. The stigma around
that's the thing.
That's the thing. Like, stigma is really, really bad. Because I know a friend who had to go to Varsity College, and she doesn't mind it, but then,
and
you know,
it's fine.
It's fine.
Perfectly fine.
At the end of the day, what are you going to get? A degree.
Exactly.
And if that's what,
and it's recognized overseas.
Exactly.
Is it not?
Yeah, so.
And I think the problem with the stigmas is that family and parents buy into the stigmas as well.
Because I feel like, you know, sometimes your parents do understand, and then they go to a family member, and then they're talking, they're like, oh my God, listen to what my child,
what are people going to say?
They're like, listen to what my child wants to do, they're happy for you. And then the aunt or the uncle will just be like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
And it's always those relatives who don't even know you.
That's the thing.
And you're like, do you know my life? Like, do you know my second name?
Like, all we do... All we do is greet each other.
Sure,
now you know me.
And
out of nowhere.
All of a sudden, you know me. And it's always that uncle, aunt that's like, do you remember me
from 5 years old? Like, oh, goodness gracious, I don't remember you. Yeah. So please, why do you feel like you have to have a say in my life?
Like,
yo, guys.
If we had met in the street, would you have recognized me?
Exactly. That's the question.
You know what I mean? Where were you? Where were you? were you when I was
And then they act like they raised you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what, like, my family's very big on family meetings and family, like, you know, like, let's sort this out together. Mm. But what that does is, I wouldn't mind that, but what that does is, like, too many problematic opinions come into one room.
Yeah.
To not decide.
And then sometimes, group against an individual.
Sometimes exactly. It changes your parents' minds. And you're just like, a second ago, you were like, I can go.
Right now! Now, us Mang Mang says something, then your mom is like, actually
Chris, I was thinking.
King. No, it's a king.
All right. All right, Shamsani.
I think we
I won't lie. My mom is that mom to Zanelli's mom.
Yes.
Like, they tell us we're critical. My mom's like, where are they going? Are there going to be drugs there? Is there going to be weed there? And then Zanelli's mom's like, Zani, I don't think you should go anymore.
That's the thing.
My mom
since
is that
high
mom.
School, guys.
Let's not even lie. Since primary school,
actually.
Been this way.
You know what I realized, like, especially in high school, is you have to be careful about the parents. Mm-hmm. You keep around your parents.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the friends you choose and how their parents are. Like, you actually have to be strategic.
No, but I feel like our parents could handle each
get
other.
Get the CV in. So, how's your mom? How's your dad?
What's
the
relationship?
Yes. And about tattoos. God, when Zanelli came into my house, she had a piercing on her ear. Like, my mom was like, what is that on your ear? Zanelli, what are you doing to yourself? No, you're inviting the devil. No.
And the thing is, my mom was like, oh no, it's fine, Zanelli.
Zanelli's mom
do
has
it.
Tats, you know.
Like, my parents, I can get my first tattoo for Christmas. I'm out here like, yes, like,
yo. You know?
I am making my mom to sound like, you know, like the stereotypical, but she is a lot, obviously a little bit more complicated than that. But like, I feel like she's that mom that really you have to, she is stuck in old ways a little bit.
Yeah, which you have to understand.
You have to understand, like you said, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, but I mean, this might be a naive way of thinking because we haven't had children yet, mm-hmm. and you know, we're only 20.
True.
But I do feel like part of having a child is growing and evolving with them.
Yes.
Because, definitely. Like, the generation that we are in.
Oh, it's so different.
Yeah, and when we have kids, they're going to be in a totally different generation and space than we were ever in.
Exactly.
And we might think, you know, we're modern, we're hip, we understand.
We're having it.
Yeah, but we don't.
Yeah.
And they're going to be things that they're experiencing that we can't even relate to. But does it mean we should just shelf it?
Yeah.
You know, does it mean we shouldn't hear them out?
I feel like I relate to this because my parents would be like, in the village or when then I did this or when I was your age I did that, and it's like, listen, I don't dispute how you're raised or anything, but you putting me through, even like the high school you put me through, is a certain way.
Yeah.
And you're going to act shocked, surprised when I come home asking certain things.
Exactly.
Like, you need to understand how you're raising me. Like, look at how you're raising me.
My father
and
was the king of this thing. Like, we were talking, having conversations. All of a sudden, I have an opinion, and my dad's like, I shouldn't have taken you to Crawford because you have an opinion. You think you can speak back?
No. They're like, I shouldn't have taken you to these white schools.
And they do say that.
But then you wanted me to go to these white schools. What?
It's like, you know, I'm like, you wanted me to give me a good education so I can have a valid opinion, and then I have a valid opinion in the household,
and then it's a problem.
Like, who do
and
you
I,
want
and
me
you
to
even
be?
Say like I even say to my mom, and she doesn't. It goes in one ear and it goes out the other. She's just like, no, I don't care. Like, how I want.
Definitely.
She wants you to be how she is, but not raising you the same. And it's so confusing.
Yeah.
It's like.
I'm like, so if you wanted me to be like someone who was raised in the village, then let's go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's the thing, that's my mom. That's the thing. My mom, every single time, she's like, oh, Zani, you wouldn't last there, nah. And I'm just like, why didn't you take me then? Obviously, I'm not going to last. Like, what do you want?
You know, they wouldn't last here, so, you know, this is not wife swap. So I think we should get to more like solution finding.
Yes.
And I know Chioma gave a few words of how she thinks, you know, her parents or parents that are similar to hers could do better. Mm-hmm. Zani, what few tips do you wish your parents had heard when you were younger, or that you would give to, you know, family and parents out there to say, how do you better support students?
Okay. Well, honestly, I feel like parents should speak to their kids.
Yes. And some that, do not. That's there's the thing. No communication.
Parents do not speak to their kids, and then they just... thing is, they assume things looking at the child's high school report.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I
can. That's what they assume.
You're preaching, Zanya.
Yeah. If you, that's the thing.
Am
if,
I in charge?
Example, if you fail math, then they're going to have you. If you got an 80 for math, then they'll be like, okay, you're going to go into engineering.
You can do it
but
all,
you were thinking about going into media. Yes, you got 80 for math. Doesn't mean you're going, like, exactly. You want to go into engineering or become a doctor. So I feel like, but as kids, we should also go and speak to our parents. I feel like we're too scared. And yes, our parents sometimes, when we want to go speak to them, they're like, oh my God, like,
you're conditioned to keep quiet.
Yeah. But don't. That's the thing. Parents really need to start becoming more open-minded. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's easy to say go and talk to your parents, but there also needs to be a comfortable space.
Yes, that's the
and
thing.
An inviting space where you can say, okay, if I do want to tell my family or parents this, that, or just have a discussion, a conversation around it.
Or maybe,
am I able to?
Or maybe even go to like a family member that you can speak to, and then maybe they can speak to your parents.
And guide you.
You know, and guide you. Yeah.
I also feel like in terms of how they can help as well, even I feel like we shouldn't weigh the financial weight, like shouldn't put it over their shoulders. And even if it takes a conversation to sit down and figure out financially the plan, you know, like talk to you, like make them feel like secure in the fact that, okay, even if I do this, even if I do that, like I will find a way financially, because and a lot of the time you're stuck in these situations.
Some parents actually want to see that you're serious, because some of us can go to our parents and be like, oh my God, I want to become an actor, then they're like, ah, this child is not being serious. Show them that you're being serious. Go research.
Exactly.
Bring them the papers. I know printing money is a lot, but they will see that you are actually putting in an effort. Always mention it when you're having dinners with them. Mention it until it irritates them.
Yeah.
And then one day they'll just be like, ah, my child. Well, hopefully.
That's what I had to do with my dad, because constantly he was like, maybe Gracie, you know, after when you're done, you can do architecture. I'm like, Dad, I'm not you. I am not you.
But you know, and exactly what you're saying is so relevant, because a lot of parents put their dreams
I'm laughing so, like, it's just beautiful. Like,
and I was speaking to my dad, like, for long. He's like, Gracie, after, you know, maybe you can come work with me. And I'm like, Dad, I'm not you. And recently, literally last night, we're talking and I'm asking him about his university experience, whatever. And he's like, Grace, after this, if you really, really, really find your passion, do it. I have to let you go. There's going to come a point where parents need to realize that they are not you and you are not them, and they have to let you go. And you can either choose to do that yourself. Like, you can sort of be like, you guys don't want to understand me. Fine. Bye. Deuces.
Until you have no money for, like, bread.
I'll be eating air and drinking oxygen.
But still, but like I'm saying, like, that thing was like, you make your way. Like, you even said with money, you can be like, I can set a plan for myself. I am an independent person. I can work. If you give me the freedom to do so, the chance and the freedom, I will show you that I am capable. Because we all are at the end of the day. It's not just like, we can't be just dependent on our parents
for a while. Yeah, we really can't.
They're the ones crying that we must have money to be independent. I'm trying to be independent. What are you doing?
They actually complain when we're being independent.
Actually,
they why? You want us to be independent, then you don't want us.
You know what's the funniest thing? It's like, you know, you'll go, like, you'll live at Rez and you'll, like, go away from home and stuff. And then you come home and then you have to ask for permission. If you don't ask for permission, or that's how you know. It's like, first of all, I could have been, like, out there sleeping with how many other people at Rez? And then now that I'm home, like, you want to, like, restrict me? No, like, give me freedom. Just, like, let me be.
Exactly. So I think it's just important for parents to give that support, but also know what, like, boundaries of, not necessarily boundaries, but know when to separate and let us go. Let us fly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I mean, it can go in two ways, because there's some parents that are too overbearing. Like, they actually need to give their children more structure or more freedom, or whichever one it may be, because you see that some people are suffering because their parents are coddling them. You know, and some people are suffering because their parents and family aren't interested in what they're doing. You know, like, there's so many extremes that you have to try and understand in terms of the relations between children and their family and their parents. I I feel sad for them sometimes because they probably are trying to do the best that they can do to understand their child.
Yeah.
But they've just been conditioned to think a certain way or to believe that certain things. Yeah, to believe certain things.
Why is that the forgiveness part like comes into play?
Yeah.
You can't like carry that anger towards them, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's also going to eat at you.
Yeah, exactly. Because then it turns into something even more detrimental for your relationship.
Exactly.
Because it's even like, I know when I was choosing my courses in grade 9, you know, when you chose your subjects for grade 10 and all of that. And I didn't want to choose any of the science subjects because I was like,
I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Yo, guys, I look back and I'm like, why?
Why?
Because, and it's not even that I thought I wouldn't be capable, because like whatever course I have in front of me, I am an academic person. I'm going to be like, I'm going to put in my full effort, but it would just be such a strain every day. I would be unhappy during the subject, you know? And I know like my dad really fought me on this and just was not impressed whatsoever. And my mom was very supportive. She was like, okay, if you want to do the drama history, do it. But do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Don't just be mediocre in the subjects that you've now convinced us that you know you want to do. Excel and, you know, do it right. And I remember, like, after one of my prize givings, like, I'd done well. I think it was grade 11 or something like that. And the next day, it was actually in the AMs of after the prize giving evening, and my dad had sent me an email with a link to like one of the American universities I was interested in and all their media courses and the criteria.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was like a moment.
That, so he came around. He was like,
what a wow.
What a wow.
What a wow.
I thought it was like, I thought she was going to say an email saying, no, I'm disappointed.
No. Yeah, like, how could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was a moment of realization to say, you know what, no, I don't fully understand this. But you know what, I'm willing to try and see where you're at. I can see you are doing the best with what you are, you have in front of you, you know?
And I think that's the best the parents can do, if they can acknowledge what you are doing and just that acknowledgement alone.
It's is also so up to us to open our parents' minds.
Yeah.
It's not, we can't just assume, oh no, our parents must understand. No. It's
like, give them the book to
like
read.
What exactly we did.
Yeah.
Hey, well done.
Yes, girl.
I mean, we'll see if it works out for people. We'll see if your parents email you.
At your own, at your own risk.
It depends on the type of parents you have. Yeah. Okay, we don't want you getting a beating now.
Yeah.
Like,
but you know what my mom always says to me is that even if you're not happy with what you're doing at the moment, like you know that this is not the end goal or anything like that, do your best at what you with what you have in front of you. Because you never know if it will lead to the next thing that will lead to what you want. You know? Because there's sometimes, and I know it might be difficult to say, but sometimes there's no point of just saying, oh, this isn't going anywhere, I'm not enjoying it, I'm just going to stop. You know, yes, for some people that works out, but for some people it's like, if you do push through it, you might meet someone who can lead you to the right thing, or you might discover something, or you know, there's so many possibilities where.
Or fall in love.
Yeah,
I'm joking.
Okay, Grace.
All right, girl.
I am the only single person at this table, that's why I'm disappointed.
Grace's Tinder profile is
non-existent.
Non-existent.
Guys, I've found love on Tinder.
Yeah, you see, Tinder is possible, guys.
That's a non_existent. Yes. So just to break away from what we've been discussing, I have a friend, Nomfundo, who is studying in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Oh, wow.
And she just had a few words of advice from the perspective of a student who comes from South Africa and who is studying abroad, and how, you know, there are certain challenges that come with it, and how communicating with family is a different sphere, as opposed to, you know, you go home, you have the chat, whereas opposed to now it's like, okay, I need to text my mom, or I need to do this over the phone call. Will she really understand my emotions when it's telephonic, you know? So she just sent out a message that she'd like for me to read, so I'm going to read.
Okay.
So this is from Nomfundo Kwini, who is studying French and business at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Don't you want to study French and business? Like, doesn't that sound cool?
I took French for a semester. It's a, like, it's a stress.
I'm studying German right now, and I love it. But wow, it's hard.
It's too much of a stress. I think the problem is, like, when you learn a language academically, it's so much more difficult than
just leisurely.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, Nomfundo says, studying abroad poses extra challenges to the typical university experience. You have to figure out how to fill in different university applications, apply for study visas, take additional tests, and find accommodation all without being with your friends and family. So my first tip would be to be very organized. Make sure you know what needs to be filled in, signed, and handed in on time. There is a lot of paperwork involved, so if you're not on top of it, then you'll fall behind and sabotage a great experience. This can obviously be applied to your schoolwork as well. I think that studying abroad requires a lot of emotional strength as well, because you're alone in a foreign country without your friends and family. I've relied heavily on technology like Skype, FaceTime, and WhatsApp to communicate with my family, and these have been quintessential to my emotional survival and well-being whilst being abroad. Whenever I'm feeling down, I FaceTime my family. Oh, it's nice to have daughter like that. Whenever I'm feeling down, I FaceTime my family, and they're always there to lift me up. So it goes without saying that emotional support from your family is really instrumental to having a successful time abroad. Lastly, having your family believe in your goals and dreams is so beneficial in realizing those goals. I didn't think that my marks in high school were anywhere near the standard they needed to be accepted to the university of my choice. But my dad kept pushing me to apply overseas, and I got into the university I wanted to get into. So having someone who believes in you allows you not only to achieve your goals, but also to be accountable to someone when you might be slacking. Overall, support from your family will result in your success in whatever you want to achieve.
Amen.
So thank you, Nomfundo, for those wise words. I think that's really nice that she was saying, you know, she didn't think her marks were, you know, up to standard, but her dad just kept supporting her. It's so important.
It's so vital, that support.
And some parents really don't realize that.
They don't know how to.
Yes, they try and scare you into getting good marks, or kind of shaking you into it. But
Or just because you get the good marks, you're expected to either constantly get them, or to do a specific thing.
Yes,
you know. Oh, I don't know. It's very difficult.
Everything is just so complicated.
Yeah,
but beautifully so as well. Like, you know, just like relationships aren't easy.
That's true. Relationships in any sense.
Yep.
Especially family.
Yeah.
Because they have a huge family don't realize how much of an impact they have on you.
Yes.
Like going away from university, I was like, actually,
this is how my parents are. Like, you know, like the things like unlike my mother, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm chilled with my family. Like, I love my brother. And then you go away and you're like, wow. So this is what they did to me over the years.
Yeah, this is who I am. Yeah.
This is how I've taken these habits.
Like,
and
hi, Chioma. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I remember I started dating myself last year. Exactly. You realize who you are.
Like, only get there. But I remember with, like, support, my mom was really – my brother and I always used to say, Mom, you're not a very nice person. Because a mom gets angry so easily. She's like, why haven't you studied? Why didn't you do this?
Yeah.
So we're like, find a better way to support her. So what she did is that she'd be like, you know what? Study in your room and I'll come bring you your food. Like for dinner. Like that was her way.
That was her.
Tea all the time. Exactly.
So I remember Matric, that was her way of like supporting me, because then I realized, okay, she understands. Then I was like, she's understanding that, like, I need that type of like support and
not
love.
The aggressive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I communicated. I'm like, yo, Ma, you shouting at me not studying is not cute. Because then I just feel guilty.
Yeah. Mm.
And then when I study, I'm like, oh,
I don't want to. And you get negative emotions. You associate. Yeah.
Exactly. So then, just finding the balance and the right way to do things.
Yeah, that's true. Because I know I was doing a bit of, you know, research last night, and I was asking everyone to ask their parents what they miss most about, you know, university and student life. And a lot of the answers that came up was they missed the freedom. They missed not having to stress about bills.
Yes.
They missed the freedom of like being who you are, yeah. not having to worry about what the next person thinks, because now you have to worry about what your wife thinks or your husband yeah. thinks or your boss or, you know, your other, your colleagues,
even
what
your
they
babies.
Think of you, even yeah. your, yeah, even your children. Like there's always something to do before yourself. Your own freedom. Yeah, yeah. yourself.
Definitely.
And at least now, I mean, the main thing you have to worry about is yourself. And we're lucky in that sense. We're lucky that
they
our
have
parents...
to stress about so many other things.
Exactly. Yeah. They have to stress. And I know the other like answers that came up and I was laughing because like the other answers were sex. Miss a lot of sex. we won't say who said that. And another answer was sleeping all the time.
Oh,
which
beautiful.
I definitely am guilty
I'll
of.
Relate,
my
dad said something really like, what's this deep? He's like, Grace, I miss my sense of idealism.
Yeah.
He's like, when I was younger, I used to see this whole big new world and every possibility in the world. And now I love my life, but it's so limited.
Yeah.
There's no more like, it's so real now. Mm. There's no more dreaming and this. It's just like moving on to the next thing, which really hit me because I was like, I'm an idealist. I really like, you really want great things to happen. You're like, this world can be great.
We shouldn't lose it.
Exactly.
We should try not to lose it. And since we're young, we should use that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Quite a lot.
Yeah. So that was something that my dad mentioned.
That's very interesting.
I feel like that's why we all like hustle. Everyone's like, why are you guys so money driven or everything? But I think it's like also you do it for the freedom. You do it because you want to be able to like go to Paris or even just go to Cape Town the next day.
Yeah.
And not have to like stress about like trying to make ends meet and stuff.
Or like,
you know?
Stress
so
about
I feel
kids,
like
all of that, yeah.
Hustling to like be so like just to have so much money, also like retain some of your idealism because then you still have the world open to you.
Yeah,
money is an enabler.
Yeah, definitely. And like the reason why I was asking these questions from the parents is because I think they also need to remember that they were once 20.
Yeah.
I feel like they forget that.
Yes, and they were once idealists and wanting freedom and relishing in the freedom that they had.
And feeling lost.
Yes,
and
feeling lost
to find
and
themselves.
Discovering themselves and everything. And yeah, I'd ask this question so that they could remember that it, whilst supporting us and whilst giving us, you know, constructive criticism or advice, they should remember that, you know, what their mindset was
at
our age and how it's evolved so much for them to become who they are and that we still need that space to evolve you know, and they need to give us that room to grow.
Yes.
Ooh, you preaching.
Wow, guys.
Very cathartic. Like I'm actually having like, it's just very free.
Yeah. That's what it's for. I mean, it's just, you know, authentic conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, definitely.
So before we end off, I'd just like to thank
with
everyone.
Ending?
Yeah.
No. We're having such a good time.
I know.
I feel like now we need tea and like, you know, have shade, like conversations.
Let's just like get everything out, guys. I'm thinking a bottle of wine. What's tea?
I mean, you know, just spilling the tea, you know, you just like.
Now I'm thinking cocktails, lady.
Okay.
Johnny wanted to take me out drinking today. That's why I'm traveling tomorrow. Like, girl, I can't be.
Have priorities, man.
So we'll just end this off with a little bit of a promotional.
Okay.
If anyone knows me, they'll know that a cause that I'm passionate about is definitely raising sanitary towels for individuals, especially around Africa, because millions of people at school do not have access to sanitary towels. This leads to problems with hygiene. It can cause urinary tract infections. It can lead to decreased confidence in school. It can lead to a lot of absenteeism, which all in all results in a lack of education. Because if people aren't going to school due to a lack of sanitary towels or due to lack of confidence or degrading of their dignity, then their education is impacted.
Definitely.
And, you know, if we're looking at girls and women and why we think they are falling behind or aren't at the same level that men are at, we have to go back to basic education and say, what is the problem that is happening when they are still growing and at primary school? And how can we aid them in being more confident in themselves, more dignified, and just more educated, you know, having the same level and not having other things like sanitary towels as something to impact, you know, negatively impact their education. Yeah. So I do my own projects, but I know Zanele Zimu is a member of the Red Wings project in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. So she will be telling us a little bit more about that.
Hello, everybody. So the Red Wings project in Cape Town is a student initiative. We aim to use our knowledge, experience, and privilege to benefit young girls in a meaningful way. So what exactly do we do? So we collect pads, sanitary pads, mm-hmm. and provide them to these girls. We also help these girls with self-worth and self-love, and we guide these girls through puberty and menstruation.
Yes.
Yes, so we actually created a sisterhood. We're not just providing sanitary care.
Yeah, you have to be so careful with these things because it's difficult to just go to a school or go to a shelter and hand them out and then leave.
That's the thing, you see.
You need to interact with the girls or with the students at the school and really find out what they're going through and how you can aid them in being more successful.
And if I may add this, what's it called? Like you said, if I may add, like you said about self-care and like sanitary, like it's so important for your own self-confidence.
Yes, because
definitely. We grew up in spaces where we were taught to love our bodies and understand our bodies.
Yeah.
So something like this, it's so vital for, especially at that age, like your body's changing.
Yeah. Yes.
You're going through enough.
That's the thing. Yeah. So we can't just provide like sanitary care. No, we have to do other things as well.
Yes.
So, yeah. And the thing is, we're helping underprivileged girls from Khayelitsha and Langa. We're actually helping more than 1,000 girls, which is quite a lot.
That
we're very
impressive.
Proud of ourselves. But like people ask, like, how do you raise the money? Where do you get the sanitary care? We actually have lots of fun events like braais. We also had a karaoke night and a car wash. We also worked with some corporate firms. So if anyone who's listening out there wants to become a volunteer or wants to sponsor anything while sanitary care, please follow us on Facebook. It's the Red Wings Project Cape Town, or on Twitter, Red Wings_CT.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You should be very proud of the work that you're doing.
Yes, we are proud. Very proud.
So just a reminder, if anyone wants to get hold of the Red Wings Project, their Twitter handle is Red Wings_CT, and their Facebook name is the Red Wings Project Cape Town.
Yes.
So thank you for tuning in for another episode
Thank you,
Students Uncensored with Ruby Chukwuri. CliffCentral.com.